Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts, Mark Zielinski, Jeremy Duval, and Rob Phaneuf as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Ben Stoddard.
I'm Mark Barber.
I'm Mark DeSantis.
And I'm Mark Zielinski. Welcome to Countercharge. And this is a very special episode because I am graced. Number one, they have two other Marks on the podcast. So, Ben, you're way outnumbered, my friend.
Yeah. Well, that's how it goes sometimes.
You'll survive. But not only that, I have three authors from... Is it going to be Winged Hussar or Zmok? Which one is it?
I think Winged Hussar is kind of the umbrella term, I guess. Zmok's the kind of part, one of their ranges.
Yeah. As I understand it, Zmok does fantasy stuff, I guess. So, but Winged Hussar is kind of the parent company, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they do a lot of historics as well.
Yeah, they do a lot of different stuff. So, well, that'll be great. We'll be talking about that in a minute. And I'm really excited tonight because I have three authors with me and... You're thinking, Mark, three authors. It's like, that is correct. And that's because I know you guys heard we were getting one Kings of War novel, but we're getting more than that. So Mark and Mark have already both penning away. And Ben has been signed by Winged Hussar to do a novel as well for Kings of War. So very, very exciting. So congratulations to all of you. This is terrific. I can't wait to get started tonight. All right. So, well, why don't we go ahead and start with Mark Barber. Mark, you are in the UK. It is incredibly early in the morning there right now.
Yeah, I'd like to say I'm normally more charismatic than this. I'm probably not. But yeah, it's 2:40 a.m. here. But, you know, I'm outnumbered. So that's cool. I can fit to your time schedule.
Well, cheers and thanks for joining us. So, well, you've never been introduced to the Countercharge audience before, so why don't you give us a little background and, you know, tell us a little bit about Mark Barber.
Okay. Writing-wise, I've been writing since 2006. Got into it in a really weird way in that I shot my mouth off on an email, which, to cut a long story short, I wrote an email after a sort of polite British argument with a publishing company. I ended with, why aren't you writing books about this? Even I could write a book about that. And I got sent a pack in the mail as a sort of challenge. And so I started writing for a company called Osprey. So I did military history for a few years, mainly World War II stuff. Then I branched out as a historical consultant for for a PlayStation game company, which then led on to writing for Bolt Action for Warlord. I did three campaign books and a whole load of other stuff for them, which then led on to fiction for Gates of Antares with Warlord, which has finally brought me full circle around to Kings of War.
Oh, fantastic. So now, do you play Kings of War?
I do now. I got to admit that when the opportunity came for Kings of War, first off, for the short stories, I was writing a novel for Gates of Antares, so I unfortunately couldn't get stuck in. But it was an aspiration straight away because I was aware of Kings of War. It wasn't like some of the other properties which are represented by Winged Hussar. I hadn't heard of, I got to admit, but Kings of War, you know, is pretty famous in the gaming community over here. So I was well aware of it, but I'd never tried it. But I thought, no, I really want to get involved with this. But if I am going to get involved in it, I need to understand it. So before I put pen to paper, I made sure I'd got the rules. I'd bought an army and I'd had a good crack at it and was starting to understand it before starting to think of a storyline.
Fantastic. You're my hero. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. So before you start writing, that is terrific. So very good. So which army do you have?
Abyssillion, which I thought, looking at the website, I was like, I bet everyone goes for these. And then following stuff on Facebook and you see competition entries, they seem to be a bit rarer than I first thought they would be. I was going to go Brotherhood initially because I've got an old army from another gaming manufacturer who are also Nottingham-based, which would have been easy to convert. But I thought, you know what, after some conversations with Winged Hussar, to Mantic via Winged Hussar, I guess would be a better way of putting it. I realized that, you know, they really wanted to push their own model range, which makes perfect sense. So I thought, well, I'll go for one of those. And the Basilians kind of jumped out at me.
Oh, very, very cool. Yeah, well, we've got some new models coming for your army here in October. So when Vanguard drops, so they're one of the main armies in that set. So that's going to be very, very cool. And there are some really cool models in there you might want to add to your army.
Oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, at the moment, I've kind of got some of the very basic stuff. And also, I recently got into Dungeon Saga as well. And yeah, really enjoying that. And what's been kind of a weird development has been reading the lore on Dungeon Saga and the stuff which comes with the books with it really fleshes out a lot of the stuff that I've been writing about. So I've had to go back of the five chapters I've written and rewrite parts of it to fit in with Dungeon Saga as well, because there's a whole wealth of stuff in there too, which is kind of cool.
That is just fantastic. Yeah, one of our longest and actually most well-received narrative workshop episodes was on the Basilian, so you'll have to go back and check that out sometime when you get a chance. So all right, Mr. DeSantis, it is your turn, so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the Countercharge audience.
Hello, I'm Mark DeSantis, and I'm a military historian. I'm the author of about 150 articles on military history. I've written two books on ancient naval warfare, Rome Seizes the Trident, and a naval history of the Peloponnesian War, both from Pen and Sword Books in the United Kingdom.
All right, very good. Well, hey, I'm really glad that you could join us tonight, so we're very excited about that. And, you know, I find it very interesting that both of you are military historians. So, Ben, you're not a military historian, are you?
No, I'm not. The other side of the spectrum.
Very, very good. So, all right, well, gentlemen, I know that you both have written novels for Kings of War. So do you know which one is going to be coming out first? That'll be the first one we'll talk about.
I'm going to guess it's probably going to be Mark.
I'm second. I know that. I'm not sure who's first in the publishing schedule.
Well, there you go. So we'll go ahead and do the coin flip. So
I think we're both still busy writing. Is that correct,
yeah,
Mark?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm like 25,000 words in at the moment to the first draft, so it's still pretty early days.
All right. Well, see, this sounds like we caught you guys at the perfect time. So, all right. Well, Mr. Barber, why don't we go ahead and start with you? So we know you think you're coming out second, at least. So that's very good. So what are you writing about? Can you kind of give us a gist of what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Basilian, I guess, is the first thing, the opening thing. And for anyone who's on Facebook, I guess they'll have a pretty good idea as well, in that I've tried to get a bit of community involvement in it. When I was writing for Bolt Action, I'd kind of post questions and say, what do people like and dislike about previous stuff? And I think that's harder to do with fiction because it's pretty subjective, but I've still had a whole lot of input. I kind of put it up and said, here's a rough premise on Facebook, on the Kings of War page, and had like 80 replies within a few hours. So it's brilliant to see how active the community is and how much, you know, they care, I guess. Alignment wise, I guess I was looking at the fact that Basilians are, inverted commas, good, the Abyss are evil, and just thought, well, what if we muddy the waters a little bit on that and see what is the difference between it? The antagonist, the bad guy, if you want to call him that, is a Basilian Legion captain who makes a decision where he's trying to put people before his job, and he's trying to do a good thing, and he ends up in a lot of trouble, and he ends up going rogue and kind of leading a band of a breakaway faction in the mountains to the north of Basilia. So a couple of paladins are sent to bring him in to face his charges, things go very wrong and the paladins are killed. And so he has to go underground. And then the story picks up 10 years later when he comes back in force. And he's got the voice of the people. He's a bit of a Robin Hood kind of character who's loved by the people in the area. But this time a proper Basilian force of about 100 guys are sent to bring him in. So it's about, it's jumping between him and him without giving away too much, slipping into the abyss and becoming a proper, inverted commas, evil-aligned character. And about the bickering and squabbling of the main characters, which is a couple of paladins, a couple of mercenaries, and some other types who have gone across to bring him in, and the various battles at various scales which are fought along the way. So that's kind of the pricey, I guess.
Wow, Ben, this sounds like it is right up your alley. It sounds like something you and Jordan would have cooked up.
Oh, yes, I'm very excited about this, just hearing that. I'm looking forward to looking about more Basilia in novel format. That's super exciting to me because I love when you have that, exactly as you put it, the muddy the waters kind of thing. That makes for the most interesting stories, in my opinion. So that's going to be fascinating to read through.
Oh, fingers crossed. Yeah, I mean, I studied as a minor module at university, creative writing there, and it's been a while since then. But one of the things that we talked about was more when you're analyzing someone and you have to write an essay on someone else's stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a very basic way of doing it. You look at like plot, character, and theme. And, you know, one of these three is going to leap out to different authors in a different way. And for me, it's always been character. So that's definitely the focus on this. I have tried to go into more of the background of things, but it is very character driven. You know, the characters I've tried to write their backgrounds, you know, about their family life, their fears, their hopes, their goals, the interaction between them, who gets on with who, etc. But I've tried to do a little bit of the legend as well. So anyone who's read the second edition background and the lore will know all about the how the Abyssal Scar was created and the events leading up to it and a certain mirror shattering and all that sort of thing. So there's one part where I've written about, well, if we take that as fact, as that's what happened, but won't there be different opinions from different cultures? So the shattering of the mirror is a kind of human and elf thing. I've written it from a really biased human point of view, where the elves are the real villains of the piece. So it's kind of a, if someone else was telling that story around a campfire and it had been changed over generations, what might it come out as? So, I'm trying to change between, you know, politically, how does it work in Basilia? The Paladin Order, how is it set up? And what's the relationship between the Legion and the Paladin, the Duma, the Hegemon, all this sort of stuff, and also flesh out the characters as well and make the two Paladins not clichéd, I guess, and a bit darker in places.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting about that is even just by what you're talking about, by releasing the character, the thing that most fascinated me about what you just said was how you wrote the story from a perspective of the humans, where it was biased and all that kind of thing, which is fascinating to me because that in itself is revealing of the world. And that right there is a great way to show what Mantica is really like, how the races interact, all of that kind of stuff. And that goes beyond just character. That's world building right there in its best sense, I feel like. So I think that's going to be awesome to see that. I'm really excited for what you've produced so far, it sounds like.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think very early days, and it's comforting to know that the guys at Mantic will read it. You know, if there's anything I'm off the mark with and it isn't where it's supposed to be, they'll come in and create it. And I think for the guys listening, that's a good comfort blanket for everyone to know that for all this stuff we're writing, Mantic will oversee it. So it will end up going in the direction the company want the world to go in.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's going to be a lore master that checks everything and makes sure it lines up with what the Mantic lore needs to be.
Yeah, and it's I think that's a challenging part as well, because the writing I've done is predominantly Second World War, and there's obviously a lot of stuff out there to draw on, and that presents its own challenges when you kind of, if you're writing about anything involving Germans, Americans, British, etc., it's so well documented, you then get into the harder stuff, like, you know, the Japanese, where it's really tricky. Then when you start to get into countries like Basilia, which don't exist and actually and don't have much written about them, it's like, wow, where do I go for research here? And the creativity gets you've really got to get stuck into thinking about how would you go about this. And Basilia for me, you just look at the names of the cities geographically, where it is, the reference of City of the Golden Horn being, for anyone who knows their medieval history, will know exactly what that's referring to. Yeah, to me, the country kind of stands out as the big countries of the classic world. So the Roman Empire, the ancient Greek Empire, etc. If they had survived completely intact to the late medieval era, this is maybe what they would look like without those external influences, without empires falling, being absorbed, etc. So that's kind of the feel I'm trying to write for it. So, when you're kind of sweeping through the fields of Basilia, I'm imagining old family holidays to Greece and trying to write that kind of landscape, and that's and it being having that feel to it.
And that's another bonus that you've got, is you've actually been to that part of the world in our world, kind of thing. You can add that in there for your visuals in the book. That's fascinating. You're getting me really excited about that. And also, I just want to throw this out there. You should go check out our Basilian thing, because a lot of the points that you just made are things that we talked about in depth. I think that is like an hour and a half episode or so, where we just got to, geek out over Basilia kind of thing. And it was fascinating. And I'm loving the fact that you're bringing up a lot of the points that we brought up in that episode. And it's showing that you've done your research on this culture, and that you're really working hard to make it a believable entity within this world, and that you're really going to build it up from being a synopsis in the book into an actual world, which is fascinating.
Yeah. It's really good fun to do. It isn't quite a blank canvas, as you'll know. There's still quite a lot of stuff there, but I'm kind of discovering more all the time. It's even things like with the two main protagonists being paladins, and then I got Dungeon Saga. And, you look at Paladins and Kings of War, and what their special skills, what their stats are, is very clear. And I went with that. But then you kind of look at Dungeon Saga, and it's like, well, here's the divinity deck of magic, and Paladins can use all of that. That changes everything. So I've been going back round and starting again and saying, right, these guys can now do healing and, and call on power from the Shining Ones and that sort of thing. Yeah, this needs to be Dungeon Saga lore friendly as well, and making it all fit in. But it's good fun doing it. It's good fun.
That's awesome. Well, I'm really excited about it. Do you have a title for your book, or is there a working title or something like that you can share with us so that we can be expecting it?
The working title at the moment is Steps to Deliverance. Now, that's it's a reference to one of the other characters, and without giving away too much, because it's a character who is in at the start. When you meet these two paladins who are going up the mountain to peacefully bring in our rogue captain at the start, they had crossed paths with a Basilian sister, a fighting sister, who has been sent up on one of the steps of deliverance because she's misbehaved, she's been bad, and so is there on a penance. And that character, she comes back later on in the story, and we find out a lot more about her and her backstory as well. So it's about, again, this kind of teetering between being the Mantic as good guys and guardians of everything that's supposed to be good, and how easy it is to just go over the precipice and end up being the villains and being abyssal.
Yeah, go so good until you're bad, basically, kind of thing, till you do a complete 180.
Yeah, and rather than just kind of being a kind of cackling comic book villain who wants to just take over the world because they're evil, I'm trying to write that. Well, why does a person end up, you know, going to the abyss? And also that Basilia, it's all good to say they're good, but you can't have a believable nation where everyone is inverted commas lawful good. There's got to be people, and you know, one of the paladins is effectively the equivalent of the son of a senator, and is very political, and is in the paladin order to, in the same way that a modern politically minded individual may join the military to get a few years as an officer under their belt, to then give themselves credibility to go into a life of politics. One of the paladins is a very similar character. Yeah, so that his father is in the Duma, so is one of the democratically elected representatives of the people, but is still very rich and powerful. And so there's that background of there's still politics, there's still bickering, there's still all of that going on in Basilia, which you'd get in the real world, and hopefully makes it feel a bit more tangible.
That sounds awesome. So shades of morality, another important theme that you've got to have. So again, you say your character, but I could see a lot of themes coming out of this and a lot of things that are going to just build this to be. It sounds like a very well-rounded, well-thought-out story. I'm so excited to see it. And you said it was, the working title is Step Deliverance, but you said you're working on that. That might change probably.
Yeah, it may change. I don't know. I thought that with that the last novel I did for Gates of Antares, and that just that survived completely intact to the way it is. And likewise, I thought I was second on the release schedule for that, and ended up being first. So these things do change. I may end up going up or down in the release schedule. Who knows? All of us may. But yeah, that's where it stands at the moment.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll be looking for that Steps Deliverance. Is there anything that you'd like to add as a last thing before we transition over to Mark and have him talk about his story as well?
I guess the only other thing I'd say for people listening in is keep a weather eye on the Kings of War group on Facebook. I'll post some updates there and I get some input. And one of the things I try to do as well is that some people play these games, I guess, because they just want to play a war game, and that's cool. Some people get completely immersed in the lore. And for the latter group, what I've said is, look, if you've got a character, the general of your army, whatever it might be, that if you've really put your heart and soul into creating them, then send me a little, just a one paragraph, and I'm trying to get, just without delving too far into rabbit holes, of just when people are, in taverns and trying to outdo each other's with stories of daring do, or around a campfire with stories of horror, whatever it might be, I can just get the odd reference to people's army, to their characters in. For the mercenaries to say, for one of them, for example, a guy got in touch with me and has got a mercenary army. So I have had one of the main characters say that she worked in this army before being attached to this Basilian force. So it's just to try and, reward the people in the community who've got in touch, who are keeping an eye on it, to say that their army is then mentioned in official lore. And even if it is just a passing reference of one line, at least they'll be in the book, I guess.
That's incredible. That's what everybody hopes and dreams about, right? Everybody back in the Warhammer days, it was that kind of a narrative player would love to have something like that in one of the Black Library books, and you're giving them that opportunity. That's awesome. That's incredible. Thank you for doing that. And thanks for, for being this involved in the community. We look forward to seeing what else you come up with. And I'm really looking forward to this. Step Deliverance coming out. You said you're second in the publishing cycle. What does that time frame look like?
The deadline I've got, what was going to be the end of this year, unfortunately, with my day job, which is very much less military historian and more active military, I'm out of the country for 4 months. So my deadlines had to get pushed back a bit. So I'm looking at the start of 2019 for submission of the first draft. We'll go from there. So at some point in 2019, my guess would be middle of 2019, maybe second quarter. I don't know. But we'll see where it ends up in the priority order, really, for editing.
Okay, so we're looking at about, right now, rough estimate is about spring of next year. So that's awesome. We'll be looking out for that. I am super excited to see Basilia because there's so much potential there, and I'm glad that somebody stepped up to the plate and is willing to work on that. And let's go ahead and transition over to Mark, the other Mark, one of the other Marks. Mark, do you want to pick up the – why don't you go ahead and introduce your book and give us a quick rundown of what it is that you're looking at with that?
My novel is entitled Nature's Night, and it follows the protagonist, a Basilian ex-paladin named Dylan Genemer, as he travels across the face of Mantica on the working for the Green Lady, and how he has more or less come to be in the service of her, and how he goes about saving the world. He is originally a paladin of Basilia, and his story is first told in Eyes Unblinking. That's the short story that just came out in Tales of Mantica, Edge of the Abyss. And he's a young paladin accompanying a Basilian army into the forest of Galahir on a mission to help the Galahirians fight off an abyssal army that's attacked Galahir. And it's all about what goes on when he's in the forest and various battles that he fights inside the forest. I don't want to give too much away about a short story. It's very difficult to talk about a short story in any detail without giving away what's happened. But he does survive. And a short story. If you like Basilia, I think you'll like this story very much. It's called Eyes Unblinking, and it delves very deeply into how Basilian army operates.
Now, both of you are writing about Basilea. Are you coordinating at all?
We certainly will be from now on.
I think that would be a good idea. The novel that I'm writing, entitled Nature's Night, is a follow-on to the short story. So it follows Dylan Genemer. So it's a spoiler alert here. He survives the short story, but he's now, as you can guess from the title, Nature's Night, he is now in the service of Green Lady, which is a very different situation than being a paladin of Basilia. And I think that the Green Lady is one of the great characters of Mantica. She's neither all good, she's not all bad. She's just something completely different and out of the ordinary understanding of good and evil as we would understand those as fantasy tropes.
Oh, yeah, she's in the middle trying to keep balance. We've been discussing that before. It's like, right now there's a lot of bad, so the Green Lady's good. What happens when there's a lot of good? You know, is she going to go bad to bring it back to neutral again? So the Green Lady is fascinating in that she is kind of the balancer of nature. She's true neutral.
As a psychologically complicated entity, I don't think she can be beat. She's really fascinating. It's a difficult thing to try and write that kind of a character. I found that you can't give everything away and explain everything when you're dealing with something so complicated, so much beyond the human ken. But I think that when you read about her, she's fascinating. And that's why I decided to include her as one of the participants in this story.
That's fantastic. Now, Brandon told me that your book was coming out first. So, Mr. Barber, you're in good shape here. So, so how far along, Mark, is Nature's Night right now?
I am in the home stretch. I'm well past the 100,000 word mark, and I'm moving towards the end of the first draft of the manuscript. And I have, I believe, a publishing target date sometime in April 2019, although I'm not sure how definitive that is, but that's what we're looking at, sometime spring.
Okay, yeah, one time it was January of 2019, so as things keep moving around a little bit, so, you know, but that's publishing, you know, I mean, you really can't lock it down, and there's a lot of coordination that happens, you know, between Wing Tassar and, you know, Mantic and things like that, so.
It's been a remarkable journey so far because, just as Mark Barber has said, we are literally hewing this story out of our imaginations. And there's a lot there that we're working with. But when you're telling a story in any detail, you have to create a lot of that detail. And my particular, the novel, it takes Dylan Genemer and his companions literally across Antica from east to west. And there's various things that I am, as I'm writing, saying, what kind of culture could this particular part of Antica be? And it's certainly true that Basileia, that's, I think, an analog of Byzantium, 13th century Byzantium, where the ancient world, the legacy of Primo Vantor, has survived in its purest form. And as he moves further westward, he encounters different places, different cultures, where perhaps some of that legacy has not survived as strongly. And I have to imagine, like, something that would be more akin to Western Europe in the Middle Ages, bringing in various elements. If you look at the map of Antica, taking you to various parts.
All right, very, very cool. Well, why don't we fade over to Ben? Ben, is there anything you can tell us about your story at all? Are you allowed to say anything yet? Or do you know where you're at in the publishing rotation?
I know that the speculative release date for mine is until 2020. And that all depends on various factors and all that kind of stuff too. Yeah, I can talk about it. In fact, I think Brandon was talking about it, and they're going to be publishing on the Wing Tassar website or on their blog or something like that. He keeps saying that they're going to publish the prologue to the story that I wrote. So, Mark, you know about this. I submitted a story to you to look at for a little bit, and while I was doing that, I just sat there thinking, "Hey, this is a really good story. Maybe I'll just throw it on over to Brandon over at Wing Tassar and see if there's any interest in this and developing that." And it was really interesting because he got back to me on my birthday, as I was eating my birthday dinner with my wife. I got an email from him saying, "Hey, I think we can offer you a novel deal." So that was probably the best birthday present I've ever received. It was excellent timing. But my story also includes Basileia, but they're not a foreground character so much as a looming threat in the background kind of thing. My story revolves around the Trident Realm, or more specifically, a single member of that Trident Realm who she and her family go to Basileia as trade representatives for the Trident Realm, because they go to the Golden Horn specifically because that sits on one of the most geographically prominent locations in the entire map of Mantica, right? So there's trade that goes through there, and the Basileians are taking a cut out of pretty much everything that goes through there, I imagine, in the form of tariffs or however you want to see that. And so even the Trident Realm has to deal with them, even though they are the masters of the water kind of thing. The Golden Horn sits in such a position that and it's such a well-defended citadel and all that, that even they have to go through it. So they, of course, they send representatives to meet with the hegemon or and his court and all that kind of stuff. Well, while there, a shawl is a little girl, and I don't want to give too much away because It's a pretty lengthy short story that serves as the prologue, but...
Well, don't give it all away, Ben. You know, you got to leave us hanging a little bit.
So. Right, a little bit. Something happens that has dire consequences because of what happens there. And as a result, we'll then jump again 10 years into the future, and we have a shawl looking for some kind of... recompense for those consequences. And she is there with her placoderm bodyguard, Magdalene, who kind of helps raise her and teaches her how to fight and do all that kind of stuff. The main thing that this actually will pull on is a lot of forces of nature and a lot of, there'll be a couple other races that will be represented within this book as they come together and clash and work together and all of this other kind of stuff. So it's a lot of it's a little bit of a look of the interracial workings and politics between the different races. And also it takes a look at some parts of Basilia and some parts of the forces of nature and some parts of the Trident Realm. Ultimately, I'm building it to be a perspective on the Trident Realm that she can go as and kind of give us the insider view of the Trident Realm and give us a bit more information about that and do a little bit of world building in that regard. Of course, as has been mentioned before, there's also they Mantic checks everything that we write. We have to submit it to them. They have to approve it before it goes to publishing and all that. But I am interested in building this, especially since they've expressed that they want some help with their legacy armies that is their army. And there's nothing, I think, that's more Kings of War in some ways than Trident Realm. That's one of their more well-developed model ranges for their own specific army. And there isn't really an army like this outside of Kings of War. So that was my main idea with that one. Building it up the same as, as Mark. I'm having a trouble keeping the last name straight. Sorry, guys. But as the first Mark said, I also am very character driven. I want this to be about characters. I want this to be, especially where Trident Realm is a neutral army, I kind of want to show how they're probably a little bit on the if there is a polarization, they're a little bit more on the good side, but they're still a neutral army, which means that they're willing to fight anyone that threatens them. And I kind of wanted to show how something like that could come about and what kind of people exist within that race and how they view the world, but specifically about how Ashal does and her perspective and build her up as a character. And so that's where I'm coming from in that regard. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm at like the 25,000-30,000 word point right now, and we're still getting the ball rolling. So it's looking to be a pretty decent sized story once all things are said and done.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you again have Basileia, so I'm glad we have the three of you on tonight. You can all chat offline and bring this all together. So part of what I mentioned before earlier was a little bit of a round table. So I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm going to throw this out to you guys, and maybe we can just cycle around. You know, we can do Mark Barber, then Mark DeSantis, and then Ben, and then it'll come back to me, and then I'll go ahead and, ask the next question. But number one, and I don't know if all three of you need to answer this, but, you know, maybe you all have a different perspective on it, and that's why I wanted to know was, does Mantic have an overall lore master that's tying all these stories together that you know of?
As far as I know, yes, is the upshot. The process is we write our stuff. Well, taking a step back, you submit a synopsis and you say, here's what I want to do. So I wrote my synopsis and said, as it was, here is a story about the Brotherhood. And that was what my original plan was. It was about a couple of Brotherhood knights going up against the Abyss. It goes to Wing Tassar, and they'll kind of tidy things up, make sure that, for example, whilst we're all writing about Basilia in this case, we're not all writing exactly the same thing. We're doing different facets. That then goes to Mantic, and in this case, when it came back to me, Mantic said, we'd rather you went along the Basilian route than the Brotherhood route, because that's in line with where we want to drive this thing. So it was at such an early stage, it wasn't even a setback. That was fine. So there's kind of a process of author through to Wing Tassar, through to Mantic, and then back down the line again. And it's pretty slick so far, really. Certainly compared to some of the other companies I've done some work with, it's a lot faster. It's pretty good.
I just want to jump in here and say, and add on to that, is that he explained the process that I went through the exact same too. As far as like a lore master tying it all together, I think there's someone there that's checking to make sure that it all fits within the world of Mantica and where the company wants it to go. Whether or not they're trying to do like a MCU or a DC universe, extended universe kind of thing, where all the stories can intermix or something like that, and we're building to like an Avengers or something along those lines, that would be an interesting idea to ask Mantic, but I don't think there's anybody that's like saying, okay, this person's going to write this phase, this person's going to write that phase. It's more along the lines of making sure that everything aligns right now.
All right, yeah, because Greg Smith was the lore master of Mantic. He was on the show several times. I know he's not with Mantic anymore, so I was just wondering if somebody stepped into his shoes. So
I want to say it's Matt Gilbert, but I'm not sure.
Matt Gilbert, that's probably a good pick. So, all right, fantastic. So we'll start around again. You know, maybe Mark DeSantis, you can start us off this time. So how much leeway did Mantic give you writing your stories?
So far, I've had a lot of leeway. The short story that I wrote was more or less all out of my mind, and I submitted that. I had the ability to select from a list of combatants. That is, it would have been Vasilia versus the Abyss, or Trident Realm of Nerydica versus the Elves, or Orbs versus the Orcs, something like that. I decided to go with Vasilia versus the Abyss. That was for Eyes Unblinking in the new anthology. And that obviously that follows the Vasilian paladins as they go and fight Abyssals. But within that, there was a lot of freedom because essentially that I was just asked to use these opponents and then write a story.
All right. No, that sounds terrific. That's kind of a little bit, you know, kind of what I heard a little bit, like I said. So, but did Mantic give you guys direction as to what level to write at, you know, at all? So maybe Ben, you can start us off.
Yeah, I can start us off with that one. With me, my whole story started in my head. I developed it all without any interaction with Mantic, only with Brandon at Wing Tassar. And then once I finished my outline, I submitted it to him. He submitted it to Mantic, came back and said, that's fine the way it is. Go ahead and get started. But what I understood initially was that they're not 5 minutes to midnight or anything like that on the doomsday clock. No world nukes, no saving the entire world kind of thing. Nothing that's going to change the entire face of Mantica at this point. We want focused stories, specific areas, battles, and all that, but nothing that if the good guys lose, then the world gets blown up kind of thing. Can't imagine why they'd shy away from that, but that's kind of the direction that I got from it was, is that they wanted mid-range, try to avoid using too many named characters that they've got in the world. You can definitely use them, but obviously you can't kill them, so they've got plot armor just from the start. Things of that nature. And so developing it along those lines is what the direction that I was given.
All right. Mark Barber, anything? Did they give you any type of restrictions or tell you what level to write at? You know, like I know Ben's big at, you know, creating Celestians, right?
Ben? Yeah, yeah. They didn't like
that. So
it was very similar, really. I think when it comes to the actual, there's almost the two aspects of it. Here's the world, which Mantic control, but here's the creative and literary direction, and that's Winged Hussar's partnership, really. So in terms of how you're going to craft that story and going through the creative process, that's going to Brandon and to Vincent at Wing Tassar, and I've had a few chats with them about that direction. But they're pretty similar stuff in that you don't want to ruin the world and start killing off named characters. The advice I had from Wing Tassar was, you know, to basically not to think too big, to just, even if it was, and as my story is, I said, it's centered around a force of 100 guys. It's not a huge army at all. It's like a little task force. And the effort needs to go into crafting those characters and the story, not into earth-shattering events. So it is. It's starting fairly small and building up from there.
The story that I'm writing fits into the Edge of the Abyss as the overarching story that we remember from last summer's campaign. It is not the story of the Edge of the Abyss campaign retold, however. It's one small part of it, and the Edge of the Abyss is the backdrop, the background. Everything's happening within that.
Okay, so we're not affecting the overall portion of the world, but we're really getting into the more, a little bit, I guess, the details of the different areas of Mantica and the forces, which is very exciting for me, actually. So
yeah, I would just say more along the lines of discovering the world through its details kind of thing. We already have the overarching rule that we have, or view from the rule books and stuff and the lore that we already have. And it seems like the focus is more the stories of what are the cultures like? What are the people in the world like? What is all of this kind of thing like? So it makes it a more fleshed out, more realistic world. And so laying the groundwork for future stories, it seems like.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it, I think. It's putting the foundations down now rather than, as you said, any sort of doomsday device and flipping everything on its head.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So my next question is, and I guess we'll start with you, Mark Barber, and we'll work our way around. Any advice for somebody who wants to join this process and join the ranks of authors at Winged Hussar? You know, any advice? You know, how would they go about it? Any tips?
I'd say get on Winged Hussar's Facebook group and keep up to date with the publishers, because Winged Hussar are representing quite a lot of different intellectual properties and a whole lot of different franchises, and things chop and change between open and closed submissions. So there are some areas where I'll say, you know what, this is closed submissions. Stuff will go out to people who are authors who are already on Winged Hussar's books. So there may be stuff which you really want to get involved in, but is a closed submission. So to get the foot in the door, it's very much a case of keeping an eye on what Winged Hussar are doing, waiting for those open submissions, getting stuck in, showing what you can do. And then once you've kind of got your name on their books, then anything's fair game. And you can almost, to an extent, pick and choose and get stuck into what you want to get stuck into.
I agree with Mark Barber. I think that if you write something and you think it's good, send it in. Send it in for something that the Mock Books has as one of its properties that it oversees. Give them a chance to look at it. They're great guys over at ZMock Books. I wrote purely on speculation. I found a open call for submission in 2016 for a Beyond the Gates of Antares anthology. And I sent in a short story, rolled the dice, and it was accepted for Dimensional Gates. And I think that because I've shown them what I can do, that's what made them think that they could take the chance on me to write a novel. I think that you want to write for ZMock Books, write something, polish it, send it in, give it a try.
Excellent. Ben, any advice?
Just the old cliche that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I mean, honestly, this is a niche area. You need to have some good background knowledge of the project that you're submitting for, which if you're a gamer within Kings of War, you probably already have a good basis of knowledge if you want to do that. And at the very least, write something up. If it's something that you really want to do, submit that short story that you wrote. At the very worst, they're going to do is come back and say, this isn't what we're looking for right now, but maybe later, or something along those lines. The worst they're going to say is no. And then you just try again. It's the same with anything within any kind of industry where you have to submit things. It's just keep at it.
There you go. Well, you know, the one thing I see with this is what an outstanding opportunity to be part of the world creation of Mantica. You know, back for Warhammer and the old world and stuff like that, they had Black Library. You were not going to be writing books for the Black Library. It was not going to happen. But here, and Ben, right?
That's right.
I mean, you can do it. You really can do it here. You can go ahead and get your story in and, you know, talk to Winged Hussar and Brandon. And if you need any help, feel free to email me at countercharge2015@aol.com. I'll be happy to introduce you and do whatever I can to help. But you have a chance here. You actually have a shot at becoming a published author and actually having an opportunity to guide, you know, Mantica, you know, create Mantica literally out of whole cloth, as you've heard all three of our authors discuss here. So, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and slide into a commercial break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to do shout outs and wrap up the show.
Quiet down, boys. I'm trying to listen to Dead Zone, the podcast. Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. My name is Hiroku, and I'm your friendly neighborhood plague lord. Why, yes, listening to Dead Zone the podcast at deadzonegame.podbean.com. Even if it is hosted by two pathetic humans destined to be part of our glorious plague. With that gunfire, damned enforcers are always interrupting my podcast time. Don't forget to go to deadzonegame.podbean.com for all your Dead Zone listening pleasure. Now, to destroy these damnable enforcers.
Hi, I'm Matt Gilbert, and you're listening to Countercharge.
And welcome back. All right, well, time for shout-outs, recent activity, blah, blah, blah. Ben, why don't you show the marks how it's done?
All right, I got a couple of things to shout-out to. First off, I do want to give a shout-out to Wing Tassar for telling thanks for giving me a chance and for signing me on and fulfilling a very big life bucket list item for me of getting published. I'm super excited about that, and it's been a blast just getting ready and going through the creative process and all that stuff. It's been a lot of fun. Two other things in more conventional sense. Just got done with Lady of the Lake. I want to throw a shout out to Chris Kapsner. That was an awesome tournament. It was worth the 18-hour drive that I had to do to get there, me and the buddy here. And it was Mike and I drove for 18 hours. It was well worth that long and grueling trek across the Badlands, literally. And if you got time next...
Bet, for 18 hours, he has a last name.
This is true. All right. Mike Steele and I drove for 18 hours. He's actually been one of the most supportive guys in this area, almost him and a close couple others that have helped to build up the community. And you're right, he does deserve that. Mike Steele and I drove for 18 hours to get there. We had a blast. It was a good time. If you've got time next year in July, I fully recommend you sign up for Lady of the Lake. It was a good time. And lastly, for my own personal tournament coming up in October 19th and 20th, we got Refugees of the Old World coming up. We've got a lot of good sponsors. Prizes are coming along great. We're actually starting to get the trophies in, which are looking really, really cool. Come out, if nothing else, for players. If you get Player's Choice, you'll get a drinking horn. So, you know, there's that to shoot for. We've got a lot of fun stuff going on with that. It's always a good time. It's always a fun weekend. It's in a growing neck of the woods still. And yeah, if you're interested in that, shoot me an email or go to refugeesoftheoldworld.com. Remember to put an E after old and world. Or you can shoot me an email at refugeesoftheoldworld@gmail.com. I can help you figure out how to get here the cheapest, what kind of travel accommodations you're going to want, things of that nature. I'm more than happy to help with that kind of stuff. So if you're interested in that, it's Refugees of the Old World, October 19th and 20th.
There you go. And I hear Holy Diver in the gang may be in attendance as well.
This is true. He keeps promising me he's going to bring five players with him at least. So I'm holding them to it.
Fantastic. Can't wait to see what you come up with for the Counter Charger Award as well. So a drinking horn. Very, very cool. All righty. Mr. DeSantis, anything, any upcoming books we should know about or anything we should know? Any ways we can follow you across the interwebs?
Just last week, my third short story, which is a tie-in with Conflict 47, that's the weird World War II setting published by Warlord Games. I had a short story published in their latest game supplement called Defiance. Give it a look if you would like to read a really interesting story about what if World War II had continued on into 1947 and involved supernatural entities and alien science fiction high tech.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll definitely have to check that out. And Mr. Barber?
Yeah, I've thought of a couple of things now. First and foremost, to echo saying thanks to Wing Tassar. I haven't worked with a couple of companies. You kind of normally sit around and it can be a very professional process. Wing Tassar is literally talking about stuff you're passionate about with your friends, and they're a great bunch to work with. So yeah, just to say thanks for all the effort they put in. Second off is to the Kings of War guys on Facebook. Again, when you do the community involvement with the best will in the world, there's always that chance you're going to run into that tiny percentage of internet trolls and who give you a hard time for trying, which I think we've all encountered. But every single response I've had from the Kings of War Facebook group has either been really productive or really funny. So even if it isn't helping, it still makes me laugh. And it has just been the friendliest community I've encountered yet, and that's just been really supportive and absolutely fantastic. And finally, a plug, I guess. My first novel came out about a month ago, which is for Gates of Antares. It's called Markov's Prize. I wrote it very much with the intention of, if you don't play Gates of Antares and have no idea what it's about, it's still accessible. So if you want to read how do I best describe it? An almost Hollywood-esque action-adventure about amazingly good-looking women with brilliant hair and teeth blowing up aliens in tin can armored suits, then give it a go.
I can't wait for the movie to come out. All right, well, we'll all try to fight for that position of casting that movie for you there, Mark, so... Fantastic. All right. Well, gentlemen, I look forward to having you both back on the show. Certainly, as we go through the narrative workshop and we start exploring the armies that you have written about, we'll certainly love to have you back. And, you know, hopefully we can explore a little bit more in those military histories in another episode as well. So I really appreciate your time. And I'm so, so excited about these books coming out. I can't tell you. And a big shout out to Brandon for hooking us all up tonight. So it was terrific. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you very much.
All right, Ben, why don't you go ahead and take us out?
All right. Until next time, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.